All right, so we're on the east side of Bakersfield, California. But we're deep east side. We're like east of the east side. And where I grew up and where this guy grew up. And you probably can hear the plethora of sounds in the background because that's all I can hear. We've been to elementary school together, high school,
junior high,
jail.
Been to jail together.
Uh huh.
Multiple times.
Uh huh. Been to Paris.
Been to Paris.
Accidentally together.
Yeah.
What's up? We're in France.
And you have to assume that
romance
you're
romance in France.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, we're gonna go to dinner.
Yeah. Back in the
house. Very seldom that you know. I think you have relationships that last. Like we have,
yeah.
It's weird almost because it's like,
yeah,
you're about the only person on this earth that I can confide in, like a real brother.
Yeah.
And I think you know me just as well as anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one of the things that the thought I had was like, you know, when you realize people who go through, and you have people in your life that you've tried to help, but people who get caught up in the lifestyle that we used to kind of be in, that they get stuck there and they never get redemption. And part of the reason is they don't have anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
No one who's willing to go in and stick it through. I think we both have wives that have decided to stick it through with us.
Yes.
And and that's amazing. So it's really sad when you see like people who, you know, are just at the bottom and they're stuck there. What do you think was the defining moment for you when you felt like, okay, I'm not the same person I was? Just like, you know, the moment when you felt like, okay, my life has pivoted. I've changed.
When did my life pivot?
Yeah.
That's a good question. So I think that it was when I was in jail.
Yeah.
Two things happened when I was in jail. First one is I got saved in jail. And then, but second off, you know, was a conversation that I had with my wife.
Was she your wife then?
No. I was 18 years old.
Okay.
And, you know, I've always been in love with her.
Yeah.
And she's always been my soulmate for life, you know what I mean? But me, as a child,
yeah.
I wasn't able to see past or see that, you know what I mean? So I remember giving her a phone call and she mentioned that, hey, you know, my friends and I were talking about you last night. And I said, really, what were we talking about? And she says, well, you know, I've got a job, you don't. I've got a car, you don't. I've got a license, you don't. I've graduated high school, you haven't. I'm in college, and you're not. And you're in there, and I'm out here, and I'm kind of wondering what I'm doing with you, so don't ever call me again.
Wow.
And that conversation right there hit home, you know. I spent the rest of my jail time not talking to her, not knowing, you know, what's happening in her life and all that good stuff. And that conversation though was a pivot, I think, in my life. You know, that's what, where I knew that one thing that always cared about me was beginning to let me go.
Wow.
And if I didn't do something about it, then, you know, I'd come home to nothing.
So do you feel like finding or acknowledging Jesus as your Lord or, you know, whatever that process was, that those kind of values that come with that helped you to kind of become better?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, because when I would go off and do things that I knew were wrong,
yeah,
I think guilt would actually set in.
Yeah, which you didn't have it before.
No, before it was like, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Who's watching, right?
Right.
Do I like put my hands in my pocket or? So,
Let's do it.
So
there you go.
So this is what, you got a new office.
Yeah.
But this is a big deal.
14 years ago, I worked as a single agent. Didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And learned the hard way just through trial and error and lots of failure. And then basically, at one point in my career, I just learned that I really enjoy teaching people
on how to sell real estate themselves as real estate agents.
The craft of the actual
the skills,
art of the sale,
yeah,
and all that. Yeah.
Right, the real job, you know, how to really be successful in doing that.
Right.
If I teach them to be better agents,
mm-hmm.
then they live better lives.
Mm-hmm.
They have better careers.
Mm-hmm.
Their clients get better service,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth, you know.
Yeah. The thing about your story is it's a great example of a life that's headed into one trajectory, where people used to say this about us, that we wouldn't live till we were 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this moment where it just changes. And so what I want people to understand and get out of your story is hope. Because I want them to see that if you have somebody that you're loving and they're on this trajectory, to don't give up hope. Because
yeah.
People do change.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to dive into this, and we're going to kind of shift a little bit. I want to talk about your mom and the impact and the turning point of your experience with her.
Well, you know, my mom was a heroin addict. Well, first off, to back up, as a younger kid, great mom. You know, did everything right. But I think when I started using or being around drugs, she started becoming interested in what I'm doing. And so she decided to dabble. And then, you know, before you knew it, she became a full-blown heroin addict. I remember I did everything I could as her child to get her off heroin. Everything. I paid her rent or her mortgage. I'm sorry, I paid her mortgage. I bought her groceries. I paid her utilities, I took her to all her methadone appointments, dropped her off, fed her, did everything I possibly could for her, and she finally got clean. Once she got sober, about a week after she got sober, I remember she went back and used again, and she overdosed badly this time. And I told her that I visited her at the hospital with my son, and basically told her, you know, I'm done. I'm never going to talk to you again until you completely sober up. Don't ever come around. Don't call.
Yeah.
Don't do anything.
Let's stop right there, because that is a big, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Because you've put all this effort into helping her to recover, much like people did for you. And you get to this point where you're like, okay, it's what I'm doing is no longer helping you. It's enabling you. And so, much like when I got kicked out of the house at 17 years old, it was a point of tough love.
Mm-hmm.
We had to say, I have to
enough
remove.
Enough is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember a month before she passed away, not speaking to her at all. I would have a dream every single night. I mean, every night.
Yeah.
About basically I would call her house, she wouldn't answer the phone, I would get in the car, I would drive to the house, I would knock on the door, no answer, and there was a mail slip in her door.
Yeah.
And I would look through the mail slip and I'd see her body laying there. Mm. And so I remember the holidays were coming and I kind of wanted to get right with her, you know,
right.
And it's been about a month, you know, I need to maybe reach out and see how she's doing and, mm-hmm. you know, or whatnot. And so I did. I picked up the phone. I remember I was at work. I picked up the phone. It was December 17th. Picked up the phone, called her, and no answer.
Mm-hmm.
Got in the car, drove to her house.
Yeah.
And it's funny because on the way to her house, I already knew what was happening.
Yeah.
And so then I showed up at the house, knocked on the door, no answer. Didn't have to look in the mail slip because I had keys. Open up the door, but her body was right where my dreams told me it would be.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Wow.
And she died the day before that. So it was almost like...
She had been dead for a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was almost like it was kind of meant to be, you know.
Or maybe like, I think when we talked about it, that you felt like, you know, the dreams prepared you
mm-hmm.
for that moment.
Yeah.
What's that feel like?
It
was the emotion you had?
A lot of shame, or a lot of, you know, blame on myself. That 100% blame on myself. I felt like if I didn't quit on her, that she would still be alive today.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was my fault that she is dead, because I was the one that said, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I, at that moment, it was just, my world got dark real quick. You know, it was just all about,
yeah,
I killed my mom, was kind of my thought process, you know. I mean, I know for the first 6 months, I gave up on everything, including my wife and my kids. I mean, you know, she, I started drinking a lot. I quit working. You know, this is back in 2012. But yeah, I gave up on her. I gave up on parental activities.
Mm-hmm.
Gave up on work, and I drank a lot for about 6 months straight. Mm-hmm. Because if I didn't drink, then I was like
confronting the pain,
crying. And just massive depression, you know what I mean? So the only way that I could actually not have a smile, but a straight face, is by drinking. And so, you know, at one point I just basically had, you know, I know Lucy, my wife, she just said, hey, look, you gotta remember you're still a dad or you're still a husband, and you can't keep blaming yourself, and you can't keep, doing this.
Well, the guilt and the shame that you felt from that, you masked that with alcohol.
Yeah.
And in some ways, you kind of began the same cycle.
I did.
That you kind of had started when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was just alcohol at that point.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it became very consistent too, though.
Well, I remember having a very specific conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the first, I don't know if you probably had heard it before, but it was the first time I think you heard it.
Okay.
Was, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
And I think it was, and I think, I think you probably had heard that from other people, but it wasn't for a good couple years where you were finally able to say, okay, it wasn't my fault.
You still no, struggle with that?
I don't, but it still hurts right now, you know, talking about it, you know. But no, I don't blame myself anymore.
Yeah.
For it, you know. But I do regret giving up on her though. Yeah. That's
so if you had to say this, if you, somebody's listening to this,
yes,
someone's watching,
yes,
this, and they're in the same situation there at that point.
Don't give up.
Don't give
do
up.
Do not give up. What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So how do you know balance of like when to say, okay, I'm enabling you? Because at some point you know, you can't continue to, if you would continue to pay the rent, continue to pay the groceries.
Yeah. Well, that's enabling, no doubt.
So you had
But I guess, you know, but what I did was I shut the love off.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, anybody out there, don't shut the love off.
Yeah.
You know, continue to pour your love on the people that are having those issues, you know, because basically I think the reason why my mom continued to fight was because she knew people loved her. You know?
Much like you with your wife.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, so once I should, you know, so yeah, I mean, if anybody out there is dealing with that scenario, 100% Christian, I mean, you know, don't give up.
So eventually, you know, you kind of come to terms with the guilt and the shame, and you learn what you learned from it, and you began to move on. So what happened with alcohol?
Well, you know, I mean, after I started getting through the pain and realizing that it's not my fault, you know, it just kind of went away, you know, so eventually I quit drinking, in roughly 2015 and you know, ever since then life's been a lot better.
So once you were able to deal with the guilt and the shame, which were the contributing factors kept driving you back to alcohol, is when you were able to find, I guess the freedom from the power that alcohol had on you, right?
Yep.
And that's the thing is that people don't understand is you have to deal with the underlying causes, right?
Yes, yep.
Just stopping drinking is not that doesn't fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
You had to deal with your emotional state.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
I had to get over myself.
Yeah. And you found that a little bit through 12-step, but then also through church and mm-hmm. through your family mm-hmm. and finding meaning and purpose in other areas of life.
Yeah.
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 And one of the things that you found was a great calling or, because I feel like what you're able to do in your real estate business is a little bit more than just business driven. There's a purpose behind the program and the way that you've set up your company, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
You know, I don't think you call us your standard brokerage or whatnot. We basically emphasize and focus on training and coaching real estate agents to becoming really good real estate agents, you know, professional salespeople. And so that's been my focus since, you know, mid-2015. And, you know, it's been a big blessing that, you know, a business that we've had. We've been on a good run lately, you know what I mean?
But there's a little bit, it's not like some harebrained scheme to say, okay, if I do this and this, then I'm going to cash in all this money.
Yeah.
I mean, you really enjoy the art of edifying people and making them better versions of themselves.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather do that than make money, to be honest with you, because the money will come.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's huge. And I think people, it's a lot of like finding my purpose in this show and doing this show. It's like, has become.
Do you get paid to do the show?
It's costing me an arm and a leg to do this show.
But you don't get paid, right?
I don't get paid.
But you do it because you love it. And you do it hoping that there's something out there or there's somebody out there.
Yeah.
That where they're like, aha.
Yeah. I truly believe that day when I went out of rehab in 2011, that I had my truck, and I had my wife, and I had my kids, and I had my job, I felt like that was God saying to me, son, I've given you this place to launch off of. I've given you this launching pad to rebuild, this foundation to rebuild on. And I think that's true for Lee, and I think that's true for many of us. What a blessing and honor it is to just be alive